Begin Monday night for our nighttime services, so please keep that in mind. We'll have service Holy Week readings Monday night at 7, Tuesday night at 7, Wednesday night at 7, and then we'll have Monday, Thursday worship at 7 p.m. here. And then Good Friday worship is actually going to be at 8 p.m. at Fry's Valley. I apologize. I sent out an email this week, and I got an email back about a couple hours after I sent it out that Fry's Valley moved their worship service back because of how late Easter is this year, so that they can have their Good Friday after the sun has set. So that service will be at 8 p.m. I'll send out some reminders again this week. Please keep that in mind, and we hope that you can join us for those. Also, please don't forget, the elders are going to meet immediately following our Holy Week readings on Monday. Our quarter auction is on the 27th at 3 p.m. Our doors open at 3 p.m. It starts at 4. Just a great time. There's a sign-up sheet on the narthex. If you have any questions, ask Tammy. We'd love to see a lot of people there supporting this great cause. Also, the CEC-sponsored Easter Egg Hunt for Kids will be at 10 a.m. on Saturday. There are always plenty of eggs for plenty of kids, so if you get the chance or have any kids in the area that you know that would like to come, please join us. Sunrise service on Easter Sunday, you get to sleep in a little bit this year. It's scheduled for 7 a.m., so it's a little bit later time once again because of how late Easter falls this year. Please note, it is 7. The Facebook page for the village at one time said 6:30, even though the banner in front of the village says 7. So I'm telling you, the pastors will be there at 7. If you want to be there at 6:30 and get a head start, then you go right ahead. Also, I want to share just what a great week it was at Spring Rally. Jacob and McKenna, I believe, are working today, so we'll have them update us on a later date, but I was there as a clergy representative. First of all, I heard great things about worship last week. It was great to see so many different people step up while Angie and I were gone and really hold a beautiful service. But our time at Spring Rally was very good. We had 40 kids, which is a little lower than what we're used to, but what was nice about this demographic is we had a lot of 7th and 8th graders who I think are going to be very excited to go to Tar Hollow down the line. So I'm hoping that boosts our numbers in the future. Nicole Quadfelter from West Salem, Illinois, did our programming. She did a fantastic job doing a Lego programming. I would love to see it Bethany down the road, but was really fantastic. She stepped up. Her father actually had a heart attack on the Thursday before we were set to go to Spring Rally. So we weren't actually sure if Nicole was going to be there. So she was a trooper. Her dad made a great recovery, is home, is doing well, and is in good spirits. But I was grateful for a great week with the kids. We had 2 vans full of kids from T County, so I was proud of how we were representative, and I thank you all for supporting our wonderful youth ministries. At this time, I invite anybody else if they have announcements. All right, let us stand and greet one another. Good morning, Paige.
Good morning.
Good morning, Angie.
Good morning, Kaylee.
How are we doing?
Good morning, Erica.
Good morning, Brock.
Good morning, Gina. How are we doing?
Good morning, Marianne.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good morning, Chloe.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Oh.
Good morning.
We can do a 3-1.
Good morning, Randy.
Please remain standing as we join together for our watchword for the week. Our watchword this week comes from Psalm chapter 118, verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. You may be seated.
Can you please stand for the call to worship? God highly honored Christ and gave him a name above every name.
At the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth.
May every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
If you'll remain standing and turn to the liturgy for Palm Sunday on page 49. Shout for joy, you heavens rejoice, all the earth. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Rejoice greatly, shout for joy. See, your King is coming to you. He is righteous and brings salvation.
Praise you, the Lord God of Israel. You came to the help of your people and have set them free. You have raised
up for us a mighty Savior, a descendant of your servant David.
You promised through your holy prophets long ago that you would save us from our enemies, from the power of all those who hate us.
You have shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and have remembered your holy covenant.
With a solemn oath to our ancestor Abraham, you promised to rescue us from our enemies and allow us to serve you without fear,
so that we might be holy and righteous before you all the days of our life.
By your tender mercy, you caused the bright dawn of salvation to rise on us,
to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet.
The voice of the messenger echoes from the desert, calling us to prepare the way of the Lord and to make a straight path on which he may come. Let us confess our sins so that our crooked ways will be made straight and the rough ways smooth. Please be seated. Gracious Lord Jesus, you have come to us with the good news of salvation, but too often we fail to notice you come to us day by day. Yet we close the doors of our hearts when it seems convenient to do things our own way. I'm on Advent. Let's skip to Palm Sunday. And it's everybody together. Our sovereign Redeemer, we join the people of Jerusalem, offering our own shouts of praise and celebration to your coming. With the multitude on Palm Sunday, we confess we have also stood with the descending crowd on Good Friday. Our thoughts, words, and deeds have cried, "Crucify." We turn to you for help and forgiveness, gracious Savior, not because we deserve it, but because you are forgiving. Save us from our sinful ways and restore us to a life of loyalty to you. Through John the Baptizer, we hear the Lord's promise, "Turn away from your sins, and God will forgive your sins."
Thank you.
Eternal God, ruler of all ages, graciously you came to us in order that we might come through you, through the merit of Jesus Christ, strengthened by his Holy Spirit.
Help us and all your children to respond to the call of your gospel with faith, love, and hope.
God of faith, you created humanity to serve and praise you, and even when we rebelled against you, you promised to send a Savior to redeem us from our sins.
Strengthen our faith in your saving work through Christ, as you chose the people of Israel to hear the promise of redemption through the prophets, and people today believe in your good will for all that you have made.
God of love, you fulfilled your promise of a Redeemer in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Grant us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we may share your love with the poor and the homeless,
with the victims of injustice and discrimination, and with all who are experiencing times of trouble. God of hope, you comfort us through the Savior's promise to return in glory at the end of time.
As we await the coming of the Prince of Peace, let us not despair. We long for you to inspire the missing
cooperation and nurture, rather than to hatred and destruction. God of faith, love, and hope, to you and to you alone we pray.
For you are our God, the only God, forever and ever. Amen.
Please stand. Please turn to page 239 for the Hosanna. The pulpit side will be part number one, and the second part will be on this side. We're kind of heavy-handed on the side, so this side, sing out. Show them what you can do. Turn to back page 53. We'll continue on. Lord, you have kept the promise you made to our ancestors and have come to the help of your servant people.
Remember to show mercy to Abraham and Sarah and to all their descendants forever.
We praise you, Lord. You are enthroned in glory, yet you came and continue to come for all those who will receive you. We praise you, for you are good and your mercy endures forever.
To you be glory and power forever and ever. Amen.
As we prepare our hearts to offer our gifts to God, let us remember as we begin this Holy Week journey that today is a day to shout Hosanna in the highest, that we have been gifted with a wonderful God, a wonderful Savior, and a wonderful Holy Spirit, who call us to give faithfully and spiritually. So let us give now of our tithes, offerings, and gifts.
Please rise.
Let us pray together. Dear Jesus, we are grateful for your triumphant entry into Jerusalem. May your compassion enter our hearts with so much honor and love every single day. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer as we reflect on what God is doing for us and what we call upon God to help us with. Some prayer concerns to share with you. We continue to uplift the Claymont School District. We give thanks that there has been a preliminary agreement that has been reached with the strike, and we also pray that on Tuesday that the school board will ratify this agreement and that the 80 or 90 employees who have been out of work will be able to return. We pray for Libby Pasquinelli, who's been dealing with some serious kidney stone issues. She has emergency surgery and going for another procedure on the 22nd. We definitely uplift her in prayer. For Matt Brennan, a friend of Linda Bennington's who's climbing Mount Everest. We have a couple birthday girls in our congregation, Chloe Martin and Mary Vogel. So we won't throw you a happy birthday today because we got a lot of singing to do, but you can grab an extra palm branch if you want and take 16 knots out of there. Some other prayer concerns to share with you. We continue to uplift Angie Miller in prayer. She continues to recover from her illness. For Emily Lippert, who had her wisdom teeth pulled yesterday and is doing well. For Spring Rally, we're grateful for another great weekend with our kids and our staff and just always an uplifting weekend to be there. Jenny Spees, who continues to recover from surgery and is home and is doing well. For Ernie Clodfelter, I mentioned the father of Nicole Clodfelter, who is home and resting after a heart attack last weekend. We also give thanks for a new ministry, well, I should say an old ministry that is developing in new ways at Lifeway. Travis and Leslie Wright will officially be named the head pastors at Lifeway today. They're continuing their pastor. Both of them have served in our community as youth ministers for quite some time. Travis is head of our ministerial association. His parents, Larry and Ruthie, were pastors there for 34 years, so they got some big shoes to fill, but both of them are very talented people, and we're excited for the energy and enthusiasm that they will bring to our community. And then, of course, we also offer sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of the Reverend Keith Harkey, who passed away after battling an illness for 2 weeks at St. Luke's Hospital in Bethlehem. Keith was currently serving as a pastor of Westside Moravian Church in Bethlehem. He served alongside his wife, Maggie Weller. Please keep them in prayer. Keith is a dear friend of Emily and I. Keith and Maggie did our premarital counseling for 3 years while we were in seminary. They opened our home to us. Every time there was a Packer game, all the Wisconsin kids invited themselves over because they had NFL Sunday ticket. So we were coming over whether they wanted to or not, but but they were always generous. Just a lot of people who are going through a difficult time. Please keep Westside Moravian in prayer. Keep Chris Johnson in prayer. She's going to be leading Westside through Holy Week this week and giving them some short-term alleviation, and also just be in prayer for a lot of people. And we also pray for a lot of the natural disasters that are going on throughout this week. Tornadoes that are hitting the deep south. Very inclement weather hitting North Dakota and Minnesota again. You know, if Eric Renner is sick of snow, it's been a rough winter for the people of North Dakota. So we pray for them as well. And also this Holy Week season. It is a busy week. It goes by quickly. But just take some time to pause this week and think about all that Christ did throughout this week for each and every one of us, because it really should touch us in a personal and universal way. So let us take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come before you today in celebration. For today is Palm Sunday, where we all shout, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Help each one of us receive you in our hearts with the enthusiasm and joy that the people of Jerusalem showed you on this day. But we also listen to the raindrops outside and remember how quickly our world can go from sunshine to rain, just like how your world went from Palm Sunday to Good Friday to back to Easter. Help each one of us seek comfort for you in those moments. For those who are sick, for those who are grieving, we think especially of the Harkey family. We think of those who are about to undergo surgeries, and Libby Pasquinelli. We think of those who are recovering, and Jenny, Ernie, and Angie. We think of new ministries being born in our community from Travis and Leslie Wright. We are so grateful that you call each one of us children of God. When we feel scared, when we feel alone, when we feel like we can't take it anymore, help each one of us understand that you, God, are going to be with us every step of the way. You are an active and present Redeemer, and we are so grateful for that. So this Holy Week, help us to pay attention. Help us to see the little things that God is doing in our life. For we realize that many of us have heard this story over and over. But each year, you call us to new lives and new understandings. And we are so grateful that your faith, hope, and love redeem in the present moment, in all times and all places. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. So as you can see from your bulletin today, you can see our bulletin is a little different than it is in normal weeks. And a lot of that is to compensate for the fact that we are going to be doing our Holy Week readings this year as part of worship on Palm Sunday. And one of the reasons that the elders and I really felt it was important to do is because not everybody gets to experience Holy Week readings. And we found that once you get the opportunity to do it, you usually become hooked to it. Because the goal of our Holy Week readings is not just to throw 90 different scripture passages at you, but it's to remind each and every one of us what Jesus is taking to the cross with him. Because we know what Jesus lived for, we know what Jesus died for, and when we go through these Holy Week readings, it reminds us of the faith, hope, and love that was inspired by Christ and carried by his followers. So today we get the opportunity to do our first journey with the Saturday and Sunday readings. We invite those of you who have not had an opportunity to come to one of our night readings to come to those as well. You don't have to come to everyone, but when your schedule fits. And also I want to make you aware, if you're somebody who works nights or are unavailable on those nights, the Moravian IVOC has just come out with a CD version of the Holy Week readings that you can purchase from their website. And you can follow along at home as well. But it really is a great opportunity to remember so much what Jesus took to the cross with him. For those of you that have a musical version, I invite you to join me on page 5. You also will have it on the screen for you, so you don't need to worry about having books. Denny's got you taken care of. Those of you that did grab books, that's just for my sake, probably more than anybody. But we're going to begin with the Saturday readings, the anointing at Bethany. So let me give you a little background. So what you're going to experience if you haven't experienced Holy Week readings before is these are a conglomeration of all the gospel stories of Christ. And it takes us through all the life cycle of Christ through each different day. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then by Thursday and Friday, you're getting to Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and eventually Easter Sunday. So it is a lot of good scripture that we share together. So now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. They were looking for Jesus, and they were asking one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think? Surely he will not come to the festival, will he?" Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given order that anyone who knew where Jesus was should let them know that so that they might arrest him. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him in the house of Simon the leper. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with her fragrance of the perfume.
Me with your presence, your friends, I love you.
But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept a common purse and used it to steal what was put into it. And the other disciples scolded Mary. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." The great crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there. They came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. We continue with our Palm Sunday reading. Please note that we will omit the hymns, "Hail to the Lord Anointed," "Hosanna," and "Ride On in Majesty," because all of those will be sung prior in our liturgy or after for our closing hymn. The next day, as Jesus and his disciples were approaching Jerusalem, at Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door, outside in the street, and they were untying it. Some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. The great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. As Jesus was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. They took place to fulfill what they had spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out."
Thank you.
As Jesus came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, Even you had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet, Jesus, from Nazareth in Galilee." The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Jesus entered the temple, and the blind and the lame came up to him, and he cured them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the amazing things that he did, and heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read, out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself?" Among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. Answered him, we have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Jesus said to them, the light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light. As it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
That concludes our Holy Week readings for Sunday. Please join us on the other nights if you are available. If you are interested in being one of our readers, we would greatly appreciate getting to hear some other voices as well. There's a sign-up sheet in our narthex. At this time, I invite our children to come forward for our children's chat.
So good morning. Does anybody know what day we're celebrating in the life of the church today? Paige? Palm Sunday. Why do we call it Palm Sunday? Does anybody know? Nick? Close. You're in the ballpark. Paige, what do you think? Yeah, that's good. So when Jesus came into Jerusalem, they had a party and fanned him with palms. Why do you think they used palm branches? Because those are the trees they had there, right? I mean, that's a hard question to think of. But, I mean, think about if we did that in Ohio. Could we use palm trees? What would we use today? We'd probably use something soggy and wet. It wouldn't be much of a fan. Tyler? Leaves. We could use leaves. We got plenty of leaves hanging around. Brandon, what else could we use? Okay, yeah, we could definitely use that. And then the other thing I want to talk to you about is what, does anybody know what Jesus came in to town on?
A donkey.
Why do you think he chose a donkey? Why not a horse? Who usually comes to town in horses? They're soldiers. Soldiers that are big, that are strong. Why do you think Jesus chose a donkey? Was he coming to do military things, or was he coming to do some peaceful things? Peaceful. So the donkey was a sign of peace, that he was coming to help people and bring them closer together. So your job right now as a team is, we're talking about how Jesus reversed roles and how sometimes, remember, adults are in charge and we got to follow their directions. Well, right now I'm going to put you in charge of distributing our palm branches and making sure everybody gets a palm so they can celebrate Palm Sunday and say Hosanna in the highest. So why don't I hold these, or why don't you take a bunch? All of you take a couple and then start passing them out. I'll even help you. There you go, Tyler. I'll start at the back. But as you're passing these out, we think of all the palm trees that are out throughout the world. Palm trees are ancient, and they can last. I just did some research yesterday. They can last for centuries. So they're enduring, just as Christ's love is enduring for each and every one of us. I guess Rick can get one, too. Good girls. Here's your take. There we go. Everybody get a palm one. All right. Make sure you hold on to one for yourself. If you got any left over, we can bring them up. Yeah, I think we got everybody back there, Paige. Let's not forget about Angie and Missy. You want to give Angie one? All right, bring your extras up. You can put them in there. Make sure you have one. All right, I want everybody, tell them to put their palm branches in the air. All right, on the count of three, we're going to say it three times. Hosanna in the highest. One, two, three. Hosanna in the highest. Let's do it louder. Hosanna in the highest. One more time. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. All right, let's celebrate. Let's get in our circle and pray, and we can celebrate. Try not to take too many people out with these while I'm preaching. Or let's, instead of holding hands, let's all put our palm branches in a circle together. How about that? Let's see if we won't hit each other while we do it. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for these kids, for the wonderful enthusiasm and energy that they bless us with. Please help them to hold your love and your grace in the palm of their hands as they hold these palm branches today. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you all very much. You can grab a fruit snack and then head on back. Brandon's got the good stuff. Let's take a moment to pray. Gracious God, we ask that you open our hearts, our minds, our ears, and especially the palms of our hands today, to take this journey with you and to remember that the words you inspire within us are meant to be carried and shared with the world. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. So we got somebody very excited for Palm Sunday right there. That's awesome. So this week is Holy Week, obviously. And Holy Week, we prepare to take a long and emotional journey with our Lord and Savior, a personal journey with our Lord and Savior, from Jerusalem to Calvary to his universal victory over the grave. It is a difficult but worthwhile journey. And what I love about Holy Week is the fact that we take the same journey every year, but something different has a way of touching our hearts each year. I'm sure there's something about Easter or Palm Sunday or Good Friday that touches you in a different way each year, and I know it touches me in a different way. And for Moravians, our Holy Week journey can be a little more intense than some other Christian denominations when we have our Holy Week readings. We can kind of laugh at them when they talk about Holy Week, because their Holy Week starts on Thursday with services on Monday, Thursday. But we go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all to Easter. And we read all the lessons and teachings from Jesus as a reminder. As a reminder that Jesus was not simply born to die. He was also born to teach us how to live. And that's why it's important we take the entire journey with Christ this week and not cheat ourselves by just showing up on Easter. It's the equivalent of signing up for a marathon and showing up at the finish line. How can you celebrate with the same joy of the other sprinters if you haven't experienced the blood, sweat, and tears that they have? And I actually think a woman did that about 10 or 15 years ago at the Boston Marathon. I think that was a huge news story where she started the race, got on a train, went to the finish line, was hoping to have a top 20 finish so she could have something nice for the office, but turned out to be the first person. And boy, was she a news story. They started to figure it out because after 26 miles, there wasn't very much sweat on this woman who wasn't an experienced jogger. Because you could tell that she hadn't endured the same race that the other people had raced. She cheated not only herself, but the people around her. It's important that we don't cheat ourselves this week as we embark on this spiritual journey together. We need to know what Jesus is taking to the cross with him. Some of you, this may have been the first time you got to hear some of our Holy Week readings. And I have to admit, the first time that I did our Holy Week readings from Sunday to Sunday, it was a little overwhelming for me. It felt like too much was being thrown at me. Because we go through a regular church service, and we have one gospel lesson to kind of digest, to focus on. And sometimes even that can be challenging. And then we go to a Holy Week reading, and all of a sudden we have 10 or 12 gospels that we're hearing at once. And I got overwhelmed because I was trying to take something from each one. And by the time I was chewing on something, we were already two gospels down. And what I learned that made the experience powerful for me was just focusing on those little moments throughout the entire process where God is speaking to me, where God is speaking to you. Because when you focus on those, you're not going to get everything out of 100 pages, but there's going to be different moments throughout that reach you, where God is speaking to you through the scripture and through the song. And song is also a very important part of our Holy Week readings, because it emphasizes what we already know in our hearts and what we already hear in our words. Well, it's amazing how much energy came into this place when we started to pass out these palm branches. I know today, especially with the rain and everything, everybody is just a little tired today, a little bit droopy. But Jesus came to Jerusalem with that same burst of energy to remind the people what he is taking with him. And it was a beautiful and a breathtaking entry. It's one of the few opportunities in the gospel where Jesus gets the welcome he deserves from a huge crowd of people. I mean, he gets the small instances with Mary and Martha and Mary throwing his perfume on his feet, but it's not often that large crowds have such a positive reaction to Jesus. And the cloaks that they threw down at his feet were both a symbol of respect and love. And if we were true literalists, actually, when we got to Luke's gospel, which is in our lectionary today, I wouldn't be handing out palm branches one every 4 years. I should be passing out cloaks to each of you to throw down. Well, that's not a hill any pastor wants to die on, so we're sticking with palm trees. But it is such an important part of the gospel narrative, and we talked in our Bible study today, getting those little glimpses from all those different gospels that put together a wider story. But for me, when I think about this on Palm Sunday, one of the things that comes to my mind is thinking about where is Jesus' mindset at? He's less than a week away from Calvary. I always think about that because I wonder how much are you able to soak up and enjoy as Jesus rode into Jerusalem? Because if I was him, I would have so much anxiety and stress about what is to come. And we do know that Jesus experienced anxiety and stress in his life. In fact, so much anxiety before he goes to the cross that Scripture tells us he was sweating blood. He felt it. And he knew the heavy cup that he was about to carry. But from what we see in the gospel accounts on that Palm Sunday, he did not let future anxiety ruin his present joy. He did not let future anxiety ruin his present joy. And listen to Jesus in verse 39 and 40 of Luke. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if they were silent, the stones would shout out." It is a lesson for all of us that worrying and being anxious about tomorrow will never cure the anxiety that lies ahead. As Max Lucado said, has worrying about the bills tomorrow ever cured the anxiety that comes with that moment tomorrow? But if you focus in the present moment and you wear the shoes that you're wearing today, you can enjoy that moment and not be crippled by the anxiety that hangs in your future. And the emotional pendulum swing we go through this week with Christ can be difficult for so many people. Because Palm Sunday is a happy celebration. Maundy Thursday is an intimate and serious gathering of friends, but Good Friday is utter despair and loneliness. And it all leads to the ultimate joy that is Easter morning. We experience so many emotions this week, and we have to ask ourselves, why? What is the purpose of this? And perhaps it is a very real reminder how fragile faith can be if we aren't taking the time to nurture it as we nurture a palm tree. For it didn't take much for the people of Jerusalem to change from Hosanna in the highest on Sunday to their bloodthirsty calls to crucify him on Good Friday. Their faith was in Jesus being an entertaining and charismatic figure, but not as their personal Lord and Savior. That's where they needed to let Jesus take over. And this week is a reminder of how easy and human it is to lose sight of God, to lose sight of Jesus. And that can be a deflating feeling at some times. However, when we see it as the reason we should keep our eyes fixed upon Christ at all times, it can help us on our own faith walk with God. For when Jesus is our compass, we can walk down the darkest paths in the highest valleys and know that Jesus will lead us exactly where we need to be. This is one great lesson of Holy Week that God has gifted each of us with. Journeys with God are far more uplifting and fulfilling than journeys without. Journeys with God are far more fulfilling and uplifting than journeys without. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask that you guide us and continue to be the compass in our life, and that when fear, anxiety, and stress take over our lives, help us to slow down a bit and to put our trust in you and know that no matter what comes our way, that we have you, Jesus. We have you on Palm Sunday. We have you on Monday, Thursday. We have you on Good Friday. And most importantly, we have you on Easter morning as a reminder that the hope you give us can never be taken away, for it is eternal and everlasting. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together to sing Ride On in Majesty. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.